Chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and preached on the Titanic last night, and thought about preaching on the old Noah tonight and the ark, but I might reserve that one until tomorrow night, talk about a good old Captain Noah and the ship of grace. But tonight I think we'll divert a little bit and talk about prayer. This being Wednesday night prayer service, I thought we'd look at the Lord's Prayer tonight. Suppose you had two individuals that were going to write a letter, and perhaps one of them was a little more wealthy or whatever, had more means, wherewithal to buy expensive stationery. I know I don't usually buy expensive stationery, but some folks do. Perhaps this guy, he had the idea that he's going to write the most perfect letter you could imagine. It was expensive stationery. Beautifully typed out, the letter was eloquently written, no misspelled words, anything like that. But when he dropped it in the mailbox, Brother Gilbert, it didn't have a stamp on it. But then you got, on the other hand, you got this other guy over here. He don't have a whole lot. He's just got some cheap paper, you know, a little piece of notebook paper, and he's going to write out a letter on that. And he writes it in pencil, and it's got smudge marks all over it, and it's got bad grammar and some misspelled words here and there. And he folds it up and sticks it in the envelope. And he puts the right postage on it. And he drops it in the envelope, or drops it in the mailbox. Which one of those letters do you think will get delivered? The crisp, expensive, stationery, eloquently written no. Why? Because it didn't have the right stamp on it. And you know, that's true with our prayers. The Lord is not all that much interested in the eloquence of our prayers and how well laid out and how well prayed they are. But I tell you what gets our prayers answered, and that's simply the stamp of faith. God honors faith. He always has honored faith. And someone has said this, pray and believe and you'll receive. But pray and doubt and you'll do without. Isn't that right? God wants us to trust Him and believe Him, not only just for salvation, but after we get saved, He wants us to pray and believe that He can and will answer our prayers. And if there ever were a time that we as Christians need to learn how to pray, and I'm talking about have some earth-shaking, devil-defying, mountain-moving prayer warriors, brother, we need them today. We need to learn how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And I want to stand to our feet as we read this scripture here in Matthew chapter 6. And I'll entitle this message simply, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pastor, again, would you pray for us tonight? Thank you, Pastor. I think prayer is probably one of the most important subjects we could look at tonight. Not only how to pray, but learn to pray with power and learn to pray in the Spirit, learn how to pray and get our prayers answered. I think we're all interested in getting our prayers answered, aren't we? And as Christians, we need to realize that nothing lies outside or beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. In other words, prayer can do anything that God can do. You ever think of that? Prayer can do anything that God can do. And in Matthew here, chapter 6, the Lord teaches us and His disciples how to pray. First thing I want you to see tonight, notice that He didn't say, pray this prayer. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. In other words, this is a model prayer. When I was a little boy playing little league football, I don't believe any of my coaches knew God. If they did, they never told me. I never did see any Christianity in their lives. But you know, it's a funny thing when we have a game. Now, we didn't pray this at practice. But before a game, coach, let's huddle up. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Let's pull the Lord in on the job. I think sometimes people think they can use the Lord as sort of a good luck charm. You know what I mean? Sort of like a rabbit's foot. Brother, you don't use the Lord that way. You know, sometimes in a civic auditorium, you know, people gather. Sometimes they'll start out the meeting with everybody reciting the Lord's Prayer. I don't think the Lord's Prayer was meant to be like that, where you just mindlessly repeat.
That's right.
Jesus said, don't pray this prayer. He said, after this manner, pray. I'm going to teach you how to pray. This is a model prayer that Jesus is giving us, and I don't think the Lord wants us to ever mindlessly recite or repeat. You know, prayers aren't meant to be said. Prayers are meant to be prayed. and I think a lot of people's got that mixed up. And I tell you, well, in the first place, listen, many people who would recite the Lord's Prayer aren't even Christians. And really, you think about it, they have no right to call God their Father. Really? Isn't that right? He says, our Father. So if you're not saved, you don't have any right to call God your Father. In the second place, we don't just, like I said, say a prayer. We pray a prayer. Well, we ought to be earnest when we pray. Now, I confess there may be times when I'm praying, the Lord may bring to my remembrance some of these very phrases, some of these very words that we read here in the Scripture, and the Lord brings it to my heart. It's all right to, but at that point, say, I'm not just reciting these words, I'm praying these words. You see, there's a difference between just reciting something and praying. The Lord wants to teach us how to pray tonight. And I'm afraid for most of us, this is our major failure as Christians. Is really becoming the kind of prayer warrior that God intends, not just for a few elderly folks in the church to learn to be. God wants us all to become prayer warriors. Because, brother, like we said a while ago, prayer can do anything that God can do. And boy, if we ever need to learn anything, it ought to be this thing called prayer. Did you know that there's no sin that a proper prayer could not help you avoid? Isn't that right? There's no need that a proper prayer could not help supply that need if we just learn how to pray. Let me emphasize it again. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. And how foolish we are. And how faithless we are if we don't learn to pray. Let's look at our Lord's model prayer here. First thing I want you to see tonight, notice the persons of prayer. There's two people involved in prayer, and I want you to see it. Notice what it says in verse 9. It says, our Father, which art in heaven. So if there's a father, there's a child, right? You can't be a father unless you have a child. If you're a child, you got to have a father. So there's two people involved in prayer. That's a child and his father. Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven. I tell you, prayer that's going to really count is for the children of God. Some say, well, that's taken for granted. Everybody's God's children. No, my friend. If you're not saved tonight, you are not one of God's children. Did you hear what I said? If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you're none of His. You don't belong to Him. But you can come to know Him tonight. I like that song. Was it here we sang that song? Whosoever meaneth me the other night? We sang that here. Boy, that whosoever means you, brother. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Some people say, well, everybody's a child of God. No, they're not. Not everybody's a child of God. Jesus said and told those people in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now, who are the true children of God? Jesus has told us. in John chapter 1. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's the true children of God. Those who have received Jesus into their heart and into their life, and he's become their Lord and their Savior. 1 John 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Some talk about the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. Brother, that is not biblical. That is not scripture. God is not the father of all people. And all people are not necessarily brothers and sisters. Now, we may be brothers in the sense of humanity, you know, speaking of humanity, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense tonight. We're not brothers in Christ until we're born into the family of God. Have you been born again? If you've been born again, you're in the family. We can call one another brother. We can have fellowship with the Lord. We have God mutually as our Father when we get saved. Now, some would argue that, well, since God created us all, then he must be the Father of us all. Well, think about this. God also created the rats and the roaches and the buzzards and the rattlesnakes. Yes, he's their creator, but brother, he's not their father. You don't become a child of God through creation. You become a child of God through the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, more religious probably than any man you ever seen, Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. If you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must, Nicodemus, be born again. Question to you tonight, we've been hitting on it pretty hard this week. Are you saved? Are you truly born again? First step to getting your prayers answered, become a child of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, do you know the Lord tonight? If you don't, please get saved tonight. Become one of his children. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Have you done that? Does Jesus live on the inside? Is he inside of you tonight? If he's not, then you need to get saved. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, saying, or crying, Abba, Father. You know, they tell me that, I'm not a Greek scholar, but they tell me that word Abba, Brother Gilbert, is a term of endearment. It's sort of like the word we would say today, daddy. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it would be irreverent if you're saved to call God daddy? No. That's what this word means. We cry, Abba, Father, when we pray in our hearts to the Lord. That is, if you've been born again, if you're in the family of God. Now, some people think we have to go through a saint or we have to go through a priest to get our prayers answered. Brother, that's foreign to the Word of God. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace once we get saved and find grace to help in time of need. I tell you, we need to learn to pray. And first step to getting your prayers answered is become a child of God. And then you can go directly to God, your Father. Since you're one of his children, since you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the persons of prayer. You got the Father, you got the child. Let's look at the second thing. Look at the purpose of prayer. Look at verse number 10. Notice what it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that prayer has one purpose and one purpose only? And that's God, that God's will would be done. That's the purpose of prayer. Now somehow we get in our human minds that somehow that prayer is an exercise where we try to bend God's will and make His will fit our will. Or we're trying to talk God into doing something that He ordinarily wouldn't do. Brother, that's not what prayer is about. Prayer is seeking God's will and following God's will. Prayer is the way of getting God's will done on the earth here. Now, some of you say, well, I thought there was a catch to it. In other words, I don't ever get to pray and get what I want. Is that what you're saying? Well, let me just say this. God wants for you what you would want for yourself if you had enough sense to want it. Did you hear what I said? God wants for you what you would want for yourself if you had enough sense to want it. You see, God's will is always the best thing for you. That's what we can't get in our thick head. God's will is always the best. God's will is not something that you have to do. God's will is something, brother, that you get to do. God's will is always the best. Did you know that God loves you far more than you could ever hope to realize? He loves us, brother, and good things will He give to those who walk uprightly. You see, God longs to bless us. We just need to get on blessing ground. God yearns to bless us, and you and I must come to the place where we can know the will of God. Successful prayer is finding the will of God and getting in on it. You know, some people think that they're hemmed up by the will of God. Brother, when you get in the will of God, you're not hemmed up by it. You're freed up by it. Christians who are walking in the will of God are the freest people on earth. Did you know that? We need to get this down in our mind and our heart. Jesus said in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. In other words, we got to learn how to pray in the will of God. Well, what is His will? Well, that's a good question. Well, did you know that 90% of everything that we need to know is already written down? At least 90, I'd say 95% even. So if you want to know the will of God, get in this book. And don't just get in this book, let this book get down in you. Not just in your head, but get it down in your heart. Read it, not only read it, but memorize it. Get it down there deep. Then you start learning what the will of the Lord is. Now I realize there's some things that you don't know, and I don't know. But is it God's will to save people? We don't have to pray about that, do we? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We don't have to pray whether God wants to save some. Your sanctification? No, you don't have to pray. It's God's will that we be sanctified. Paul said that. He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. We know these things already. You don't have to pray about that. But young person, who are you going to marry? That ain't in the Bible, is it? But I tell you what, the principles of who you ought to marry is in the Bible. But I tell you what, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to put some prayer on that. You're going to have to soak that down with prayer. If you're a girl, Lord, should I marry this boy? If you're a boy, Lord, should I marry this girl? And that's going out of the kind of marriage here is, by the way. Yeah, the world's trying to change all that. The devil's trying to change all that. But brother, male and female He created, and God said what God had joined together, let not man put asunder. And it's a male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, even to his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh. All right. You better pray about that new job. About whether you should sell that home, move your family, uproot them, go 6 hours down the road. You better pray about those kind of things. But what I'm saying is you can know the will of God if you'll just pray. The Lord don't want to keep His will from you. The Lord wants to reveal His will to you. But how are you going to know His will if you don't pray? If you don't get into the Word, let God lead you by His Spirit. See, we pray to the Father, we pray through the name of the Son, and we pray in the Holy Ghost. And brother, we can get our prayers answered that way. We can get our prayers answered that way. God longs to bless us and accomplish His will in our lives. You see, if we seek the will of God, and there's a lot to that, if we seek the will of God, we will come to know the will of God. God's not trying to hide His will from you. Now, how can we know the will of God? This is how. Jesus said this in John 15:7. He said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, there it is, the word, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus said, if ye abide. Let's look at that word abide a little bit. I believe David learned how to abide in the Lord. I believe it means to learn how to lean on Jesus. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's to learn how to look to Jesus and depend on Jesus for everything. And we need to read God's word. We need to memorize it, get it down in our heart. And then we need to pray through the Holy Spirit and surrender our will to the Spirit of God. And then if we learn to abide in Christ, like we just said, and His word begins to abide in us, the Bible says then we can pray for whatever we will and get it done, because strangely and wonderfully enough, what we now will is what He wills, because we now have the mind of Christ. Now, when you get to that point, brother, you ready to get your prayers answered. When you start having the mind of Christ, because you start knowing what the will of God is. Somebody said it this way, the prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that started in heaven. You see, God the Holy Spirit put something on your heart to pray for. That came from heaven, didn't it? It comes all the way down to here to us. We get a burden to pray for something, we pray it back to heaven, it goes right back where it came from. We're starting to pray in the will of God, aren't we? When we do that, God hears and answers that kind of prayer. We've talked about the persons of prayer. We talked about the purpose of prayer. Now, thirdly tonight, let's look at the provision of prayer. Verse number 11. Notice what Jesus says. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord's practical, isn't He? The Lord knows what we need before we even ask it. He said, if you have a need, I believe the word bread here is not just a loaf of bread. But I tell you what, if you need a loaf of bread, pray for a loaf of bread. Brother, y'all provide us about 4 loaves of bread. We got plenty of bread. We'll probably take bread home. We don't have to pray for no bread this week. We got plenty of bread. Thank God for bread. But I don't believe Jesus is just talking about bread. He's speaking generic here. I believe He's talking about any need that you have, that you can bring it to Him. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, it didn't say all of our wants, did it? It said all of our need. Now, sometimes we want things that we don't need, don't we? Sometimes we need things that we don't want. God, help us to know the difference. Now, He's talking about all of our needs, bread here. If you need a job, pray for a job. If you need a house, pray for a house. James 4:2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. Jesus prayed. He told us how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. The fourth thing tonight, the pardon of prayer. If we ain't very careful, we'll leave this out. Because as we talked about Monday night, we don't like to deal with that sin problem, do we? That's where that pride gets in our way. We don't like to talk about or deal with our own sin. You know, it's easy to talk about somebody else's sin. You didn't notice that? But when it comes down to our sin, we have to start kind of choke up. Micah, I'm gonna tell a story on him. When he was only 3 years old, we went to Washington, D.C. And we was in a church somewhere around Alexandria, is that the name of that place? I believe it was Capital City Baptist Church or something like that. And a bunch of little pretty girls running around in the church. He's only 3 years old now, but he was already looking, brother. He's still looking. We got back to the motel. I started kidding. I was like, pretty girls over there. Yeah, there's a pretty girl over there. You know, he couldn't half talk plain. You know, I can't talk like he used to. I couldn't half understand what he was saying, but they could. Yeah, there's pretty girls over there in the church. They're 3 years old, talking about pretty girls. And, which that's good. You know, you ought to cultivate that. You ought to teach your boys to love girls now, and you need to teach your girls to love boys. Ain't nothing wrong with it. That's what God intended it to be, brother. But anyway, he loved girls. Old ones, young ones, fat ones, skinny ones. He didn't care. Ugly, pretty, he'd kiss them all. He don't do that now, but he did back then in the day. And anyway, we started talking about sin that night in the motel room. I started trying to pin him down on sin. And you know what he said? He said, Isaac does sin. He changed the subject on me. I wasn't talking about Isaac. I was talking about Micah. I said, you mean, what are you talking about? He said, well, he said Isaac does sin. I said, I ain't talking about Isaac's sin. I'm talking about your sin, boy. He said, somebody needs to cut that grass outside. He started looking out the window. Brother, he ain't but 3 years old. And he's trying to divert the subject of sin. You don't have to teach people to do that. We all still got that problem. We won't talk about somebody else's sin. We don't want to talk about our sin, do we? Isaac does sin. Isaac does do sin, but Micah does do sin too. We all do sin, don't we? I tell you what, the pardon of prayer, brother, we need to do this every day. Notice what Jesus said in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, sometimes our prayers are not answered. Why? Because we don't have God as our Father. We're not saved. You're not going to get your prayers answered until God becomes your Father. Sometimes our prayers aren't heard or answered because we're not praying in the will of God. We're not abiding in the Lord. Instead of praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, we're praying, my kingdom come and my will be done. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because they're not asked. We've covered that already. We have not because we ask not. But now, sometimes our prayers are not answered simply because we have unconfessed, unrepented of sin in our life. It's just as simple as that. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Brother, if we're harboring any sin tonight, we're not staying confessed up with the Lord, he's not going to hear our prayer. We talked a little bit about that Monday night, didn't we? How we need to learn to seek the face of God and turn from our wicked ways in order to get our prayers answered. If we're going to turn from our wicked ways, we better confess our sins on a daily basis. Some preacher said we need to keep short accounts with God. We don't need to let it get real long, brother. Keep short accounts with God. Keep your sins confessed up, brother. I'm not encouraging the sin so you have something to confess. But I tell you what, we need to confess every day because, brother, we're still in this flesh and we walk in this nasty, filthy world every day. And brother, it sticks to us and we need to get cleaned up every day. Amen. Cleaned up every day. Me, you, everybody else needs this. I tell you, the devil, by the way, there is a devil out there. If he wants one thing, he wants to keep you and me from praying. Someone said the devil had a meeting with all of his imps and demons in hell. And they agreed that they'd keep this certain Christian from praying. They said, we'll beat him every time. We can just keep so-and-so from praying. You know, it's been said that the devil trembles when he sees even the weakest saint down on his knees. That's what the devil wants to keep you from doing, is from praying, and crying out to God. I want to ask you something. Have you ever committed a sin and asked God to forgive you? And he did? Amen. He did. Have you ever committed a sin and asked God to forgive you? And then you turn around and he forgives you. And then you turn right around and you commit that same sin or another one a whole lot like it again. And you come back to the Lord and ask him to forgive you again. Did he forgive you again? How many times does it? Well, Jesus said 70 times 70. Thank God we have a merciful. We have a merciful God that hears our pleas and he forgives us of our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does God want for each and one, every one of us? He wants us all to live on the victory side. You think God wants all of his children to be defeated? You think he wants us all to have victory? That's what the whole book of Joshua is about. Teach us how to have victory. God don't want us to be defeated. You hear about the football coach? They was losing a lot of games, brother. He got all the players together and says, listen, we got to get some good players. We're losing way too many games. And his best player come up to him and said, what can we do for you, coach? What kind of player are we looking for? Coach said, well, you know, there's always that player that he gets knocked down and he just stays down. The player said, well, we don't want that kind of player, do we, coach? He said, no, absolutely not. Then the coach said, well, there's another kind of player. He when he gets knocked down, it don't matter how many times he gets knocked down, he gets right back up every time. The player said, well, that's the kind of player we want, don't we, coach? He said, absolutely not. He said, I want that guy that keeps knocking everybody down. See, God wants us to experience some victory in our lives. We can have it, brother. We can be like old Caleb and say, I want that mountain. God promised it to me 45 years ago. I'm 85 now. And God's going to come through for me. And he did. We've looked at a lot of things about prayer tonight. Last thing I want you to see, and we'll close with this. Look at the praise of prayer. Look at verse number, the last part of, well, verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The last part says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What's he doing here? He's praising the Lord. He's teaching us how to praise. You know, God loves the praise of his people. You know, many times when we pray, we start our want list, don't we? Lord, give me this. Lord, I need this. Lord, and I'm not telling you. And it might be things that we need. Lord, heal me of this. Lord, take care of this bill. Lord, do this. And we get in a rut of praying. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. And do this for me. And do that for me. But did you notice how the Lord started out this model prayer? He started it out with praise. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He praised the name of God right off the bat. He started this prayer with praise. He ends this prayer with praise. And powerful prayer, I think, is always packed with praise. Why don't you try bragging on the Lord? How about it sometime? He deserves it, brother. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. Well, I'll just brag on him for a while when we pray. Said, Lord, I love you, and you're mighty, and you're powerful, and you're my Lord, and you're my God. And I'm thankful for that. You ought to talk to the Lord that way. Praise is an expression of faith. You know, you won't praise somebody that you don't have faith in. Show the Lord that you have faith in him by praising his holy name. Somebody said prayer is faith turned inside out. And faith causes our prayers, just like that letter in the beginning that had the right stamp on it. Faith causes our prayers to be answered. Billy Sunday said this. He said, we need to pull some of the groans out of our prayers and shove in a few hallelujahs every now and then. He knew what the Lord was talking about. We need to praise. Let's just praise the Lord. He's worthy. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus,